listeners, this headline is actually quite alarming, although in a moment we may find out it really shouldn't be such a surprise. It addresses a rise in the incidence of kidney stones in American children. According to the article found recently in the New York Times, kidney stones, once considered a disorder of middle age, are now showing up in children as young as 5 or 6 years old. In fact, there are so many cases that some hospitals have opened pediatric kidney stone clinics. Dr. Caleb Nelson, a urology instructor and director of the Kidney Stone Center at Children's Hospital in Boston, says his group sees at least one child per week in his clinic. That problem is reflected at other hospitals across the country. Why this alarming rise in kidney stones among children? Well, we've asked Dr. Thomas Welsh, professor and chair of pediatrics at Upstate, to take us behind this headline this morning to explain the phenomenon. Good morning and welcome back, Dr. Welsh.
Thanks a lot. Good to be here.
So I'm going to confess that when I read the article, I was stunned. This is a scary proposition for little children. Are you seeing a lot more kidney stones?
Well, we actually have been seeing kidney stones for years, both when I was in Cincinnati before I came to Syracuse and then since I've been here. It was interesting, the article that you mentioned from Boston was commenting on seeing one a week. We see one or two a month, and obviously Boston's a lot bigger than Syracuse, so we might even be seeing proportionally more than they do. Having said that, although I don't have really good statistics going back on this, I'm not sure that we're seeing this much more than we have done before. People may be more conscious of it. And, of course, you can always market yourself by starting a stone clinic.
Uh-huh, but, there you go.
Pediatric kidney specialists have been taking care of kids with kidney stones for decades.
Well, let's talk about exactly what kidney stones are and why children or anybody would have them to begin with. What is a kidney stone?
Sure. Well, although there are various types of kidney stones, the ones that we see most commonly are composed of calcium, and they really do look like a stone. Now, many of them are small stones, more like a grain of sand, but some actually look like a small pebble. They develop in the kidney itself, and interestingly, when the stone is in the kidney and not moving, it really doesn't cause any pain. So it's sort of.
And that's what we hear about is people who have kidney stones who are in horrible, horrible pain.
Sure. The pain of a kidney stone actually is not so much caused by the stone, but by the fact as the stone travels from the kidney down to the bladder, it can clog things up, cause some obstruction, and it's that obstruction to the flow of urine that's painful.
Ah.
The stone in the kidney itself is not. So many of the stones that I see are in children who actually come to see us because they're found to have some blood in their urine or maybe a urinary infection that doesn't clear well. And when we do some x-ray studies and find a stone, everyone is surprised because they think, gosh, that should really be painful. But it's really only when it's moving that it's painful.
So what you're suggesting is that it's entirely possible that these kids have had these stones, but they've passed them before and nobody's really been aware.
I think that's absolutely right, yes. Now, many children that we see will have a single stone. They'll have it for a while, pass it, and never have any more trouble. There are other situations, though, where stones become a recurrent problem. Now, some of those are children with other diseases that happen to have stones as one of the complications.
I see.
For example, our cystic fibrosis clinic, for rather complicated reasons, children with cystic fibrosis may have extra amounts of calcium in their urine and may be predisposed to stones. Similarly, children with certain kinds of arthritis and certain kinds of bowel disease can have stones as a secondary problem. So another group of children I see are ones that are known to have these other chronic diseases, and then they develop stones on top of it.
What are the kinds of things that parents can do for their kids to make sure that their children aren't the ones who are getting kidney stones? Because if they do pass them, they do get horribly painful. What kinds of good habits can parents build in their children to avoid them?
Well, I guess the first thing is something you really can't do much about, which is to choose your parents wisely.
Oh, okay.
We do know that there is a genetic or a hereditary tendency for certain types of stones, especially calcium stones.
Uh-huh.
And when I see a child with a calcium stone, one of the first things I ask is about parents, aunts, uncles that have had kidney stones, and very often they will have that history. Stones, though, are a good example of how genes are not everything. So the way I look at it, your genes may predispose you to have an excessive amount of calcium in your urine, but that's not enough to get a stone.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that parents can control is the amount of fluid that a child takes. And we know that when the urine is very dilute, which it would be, of course, if one drinks a lot of water, then actually the calcium that's in the urine is less likely to precipitate. Urine that's very concentrated, the concentration of calcium in it will be much higher, and it's more likely to make a little stone. But if the urine is dilute, that precipitation doesn't happen as often.
All right, so we encourage our kids to drink water, but what about other fluids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, certainly water is the best fluid. We could get into a discussion of sodas and other such things,
sure,
which are issues in themselves. One important thing that was actually mentioned in the article that you referenced, mm-hmm, is that milk, although it has calcium in it, is really not a problem. And in fact, we do not restrict the amount of calcium in the diet of children that have kidney stones. In fact, there's some evidence that the calcium in milk is in a form that is really not a problem as far as kidney stones are concerned. Actually, I've done some research on this myself. The calcium that actually appears in the urine is not actually coming from what one takes in the diet. It's actually coming from bone. And we know that people who form kidney stones, if they have bone density tests, may actually have lower amounts of bone density.
Really?
So one of the other things that I ask when I'm seeing a child with kidney stones are family histories of osteoporosis and fractures.
Uh-huh.
And I will quite commonly find that there's yes, doctor, you know, my grandmother had a couple of hip fractures when she was young. And so we pay careful attention to that.
Very interesting. Well, Dr. Thomas Welsh, you've enlightened us on this whole problem with kidney stones. We're going to keep giving our kids fluids and water and hope for the best. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up, a gleamy new year with more fun with friends. Well, dear listeners, here we are, a scant 10 days into our New Year's resolutions. And did you know, if we can make it beyond the first few weeks with those resolutions intact, the odds we'll succeed long-term go up and up and up with each passing day, as more new neuron synapses grow into the new habit and give the kibosh to the old habit. Problem is, a lot of us don't make it beyond the first 2 weeks to that spot where the going actually gets easier, where the uphill climb levels out and we start going downhill. Whee! Brain gravity! Whee! I'm flying into my new Richie with those new synapses firing on all cylinders. Cool image, huh? Synapses firing their cylinders. That's fun. Anyway, the challenge is how to manage the challenges until that giddy moment, even when we want to slam in reverse and stomp the accelerator backwards. For example, I'm in the midst of a particularly challenging challenge in my own life. You see, this year, one of my resolutions is to have more fun. Another is to spend more time with friends and family. So what's the problem, you say? They should go hand in hand. Well, the other day, I'm at a party, having a jolly good time, and then the conversation turns to aging somehow. Maybe because I just had my birthday, and a guy friend across the table from me says, "Thank goodness for still having a full head of hair, eh, Rich?" Now, from his chair, it looks like I still do. But shockingly, disturbingly, distressingly, very unfunningly, very reminding me of the grim reaper-ingly, literally just in the 2 weeks since my birthday, I'd seen more hair in the drain after my shower that wasn't there before I stepped in than ever, and I'd felt more breezy coal blasts on top of the noggin than ever. So somehow my unfriendly scalp had not gotten the memo about having more fun resolution, because losing the familiar old brown ones is definitely not in the fun category, not even fun with a lowercase f. So how does one manage this artillery barrage to the resolutions? Well, back at the party, knowing that sharing one's feelings about life's inevitable disappointments is good for friendships, I, smiling, mumble something about things thinning out on top. My buddy's wife next to me turns and says, chuckle, chuckle, she thought she could see a kind of unfamiliar gleaming up there. Mindful of my resolve for more fun with friends, and I thought with remarkable joie de vivre, I replied simply, "Shut up, Sally." Now that was fun. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill, and I say, follicles! We don't need no stinking follicles. Thanks for tuning in.